welcome one and all to Game Over, the premier video game show hosted currently by two brothers and nobody else, only on Mondays from, for the first time all year I could say this, from 5 to 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM, although we're in talks that might be actually changing in the future, it might be expanding. What do you think, Adam? What do you think of the expansion of our universe?
Well, this is the first I'm hearing about it.
Well, it's the first time, really. Yeah, it's moved beyond the stages of rattling around my brain. But feel free, like us on Facebook, by the way, 101.5 UMFM on Facebook. I believe it's, or not 101.5, but like them too. Like the radio station too. But we're Game Over, UMFM on Facebook. Like us on Facebook and send us a message. We're considering expanding to iTunes and even YouTube. Get into the YouTube space. Just was confirming that we can. We can. So we might be boldly going where plenty of people have gone
before.
But we'll go there somehow bolder. All right. So Matt should be here shortly. And it's unfortunate because finally we had some overlap with The Witcher 3 and Monster Hunter that I was really eager for. Oh, there he is. Perfect. That I was eager. But what have you been playing last week? Because I think you've been addicted to a brand new game that I'm sure you want to talk
have.
About.
Yeah, so I finally got into Subnautica. And frankly, I didn't think I was going to like it when I first heard it described to me. Because, like many games, the first time I heard about it was when I saw Yahtzee do a review of it. And from his description, I was like, so it's Minecraft, but underwater? Okay. And, like, that honestly sounds way more like a you thing than a me thing, because you liked Endless Ocean.
Yeah. I'm just about the only person on planet Earth, other than the creators of Endless Ocean, I think, who played
Frankly,
Endless
I'm not
Ocean.
Even sure they did.
Well, it's a well-made game.
But, no, so, I don't know, about a week and a half ago, I was watching a guy who does streams, and one of the ones he was doing was Subnautica, and I was like, okay, you know, I'll check this out and see what happens. And I got, I don't know, probably half an hour in before I went, no, this looks amazing, I have to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded it on Steam, and, you know, sort of long story short, it's a week later and I'm 35 hours in. So, yeah, I'd say it's grabbed me.
Well, there you go. Matt, have you heard the Subnautica game?
I've heard of it. I have not played it. But I've heard very good things.
Yeah. It like, my initial assessment was correct. It's basically Minecraft, but underwater.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. It's fun. It has Minecraft's, like, the original Minecraft's problem of it tutorializes very, very badly.
Okay.
Like, I was... But unlike Minecraft, it has a story, and it's a good one. And I think I've just sort of entered Act 3 now, but I knew there was a sort of a base-building mechanic, but I was, like, 12 hours in before I started building a base, because the game never told me, hey, you know, there's this tool that lets you build the base, and you don't have to find the blueprints for it. Like, you have to find the blueprints for everything else. You can just make it. And I didn't know that until I was on a wiki, and it's like, you need a habitat builder, and I went... Where do you get a habitat builder? And so anyone who was... If I had been streaming this, the chat would have been livid with me for spending 12 hours just running back and forth to my escape pod, because I'm like, surely there must be a better way.
Well, you probably would have figured it out faster.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it was... it's like... It is freaking terrifying at some points.
Well, that's what, like, I had... I think I've talked about it on air, although I feel like it's been a few years. It's weird when you have a radio show. It's like, I talked about that like a couple months ago, right? And it's like 2016, like I'd absolutely talk about. Like, for example, Matt and I have yet to do our new yearly video, our music episode, but that always feels like it was just a couple months ago. And then it's like, no, it's like basically a calendar year.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, it's too soon to do that one. When did we do the last one? 18 months ago? Oh, okay.
But I think it's called, what's the word? Thalassophobia, I think, is the one. It's like fear of open water.
Yeah.
And there's a Reddit page for it. You might be able to look up the actual spelling on that. But there's a Reddit page like r/thalassophobia or whatever it is. And it's basically a whole bunch of those haunting pictures and videos and GIFs of, like, we've all seen that one, like, the free diver who's, like, underwater and then dives, like, off the drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, infinite blue. And Endless Ocean.
You're right, by the way.
Sweet, I got it right. Endless Ocean, even though it was, like, you couldn't die in the game. It was the first one, at least. The second one, like, you could get, like, stunned or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't dangerous games, and it was still terrifying.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what a game that
actually has a death mechanic.
Could be like, although it's super weird, I'm one of the most fish and sea life obsessed people that I know, and yet for the most part, unless it's a giant monster, which I think are in the game,
yes,
I really don't get that into like fake fauna, like scientific fauna.
You will get
particularly
into this.
Because real life stuff is so weird.
Yeah.
It's like I don't even need other stuff. Have you seen what exists on our planet? It's strange enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I have more time and I finish Red Dead Redemption 2, if that ever happens, then I'll definitely check out Subnautica.
Yeah, you've got to give it a try. You'll really like it. But yeah, no, it's I wish it tutorialized better because I feel like so much of this, and there is something to be said for trial and error. But it's just way too much trial and error.
Mm. Mm.
And I was going, like, I'm a person who does not like to use a wiki on a first playthrough. And I know that the first time I look at it, the seal has been broken, and now I'm just going to refer to it for everything. So I went as long as I could without checking it. And then eventually it just comes a point, it's like, why is there no map in this game? I can make a fish habitat out of metal and string. Why can I not make a map? And at that point, I just went, okay, just screw it. Just show me the map. Just tell me where the hell I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's also, it's very buggy. It has a lot of glitches and weird technical issues. Without spoiling what happens at the end of Act 2 of the story, I got down to a very deep place, and then I got out of my sub, and I fell through the floor.
Mm.
And that set me back, like, half an hour.
Oh, well, I mean, half an hour, it could be much worse.
Yeah. Well, it's because I'd been paranoid saving.
Attaboy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It has a lot of flaws, but if you're a person who liked Minecraft, and I was, it can get you.
Interesting. I will definitely check it out, but we're going to keep moving on because, as we kind of alluded to at the beginning of the show, finally we're back to our regular time slot of 5 to 5:30, and you can expect your regular daily or weekly dose of TV Talkers from 5:30 to 6 today. So that means that we've got to hustle because, for once, we don't have a full hour to talk about things. Now, we're going to keep going over the story that we've been talking about more or less on and off for the past several weeks, and that is the MK11 roster. I have never seen a franchise outside of Super Smash Bros. Where the people on the roster get obsessed about as much
yeah.
as the Mortal Kombat franchise. And, like, I was around. I was on the internet. I was alive for MKX, and I don't remember people obsessing over the roster as much as they are for this one. Maybe it's because it's a smaller roster, it's only 25, but people are just going bananas. There was a huge movement on the internet that you guys might have seen where they wanted Shaggy on the roster. Yeah.
Like from Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Apparently, and then, there's been a thing going around where, like, the joke is that he's the most powerful being in all the universe. And so there's people have collected that into a bunch of very different memes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the joke, is that he is this ultra-powerful cosmic entity.
You know how the internet does.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ed Boon, the creative director of Mortal Kombat, did formally say, yeah, no, Shaggy won't be in the game. But I love how he still commented on it. However,
didn't say anything about Scooby.
That's true. Yeah. It could be a guest character. There were some actual reveals, some genuine, honest-to-goodness reveals. And that is, Cabal got formally announced. He was kind of leaked-ish, revealed-ish in the trailer, but he's formally in the game.
He's definitely in now.
He looks really cool. Kano is formally in the game. Kind of makes sense. Wherever you have Sonya, you have Kano, sure. They deconfirmed Kronika. The big bad guy will not be, or big bad girl in this case, will not be playable.
That's not that much of a surprise.
That much of a surprise. I can handle it. And Devorah was formally announced. So that's the Bug B Lady was formally brought back. And she actually, just going off the Twitter post where they revealed it, because Ed Boon is huge on Twitter, I was kind of surprised how lukewarm the reception for Devorah was.
Yeah.
But if you thought that was lukewarm, boy, they weren't prepared.
You don't know how room temperature it can get.
You don't know how mild it could possibly be when apparently there were leaks. Well, not apparently there were leaks. I guess apparently there were leaks. Now, after the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate leak of the Grinch, I don't trust any leaks. Right. I trust nothing. But this one apparently was leaked Steam achievement data.
Oh.
So that's not necessarily someone came up with it. It came from, like, someone got into Steam and looked at some achievement data. So it has the potential to be more legit. And that fills out the roster. And I know, Matt, we'll we'll actually have stuff to talk about in a bit. You might not recognize these names. That fills out the roster with Cassie Cage.
Okay. Not a surprise.
Made sense. Jade. Made sense. She was coming back. Kotal Kahn. Made sense. Coming back. Liu Kang and Kung Lao. Made sense. They're coming back. The two interesting ones, one bad and one good, Jackie Briggs. I probably knew it at one point, but I had forgotten it. But the term for those new characters was the combat kids.
Yeah.
And from what I've said, everything online, everyone hates Jackie.
Yeah.
Same reason we talked about. She's boring. She doesn't do really anything that her dad didn't do. She doesn't have a super interesting personality.
Yeah.
And yet, apparently, she's back. So that's gotten some backlash from the internet. And then here's one that here's one that'll make you happy. Aaron Black. I don't know if I said that already. Aaron Black's coming back.
Yeah,
and
the cowboy.
Frost.
Woo!
Yeah, so basically just three-letter codes were sort of revealed. And F-R-O, they're figuring as Frox. J-A-C, Frost. J-A-C, they're figuring as Jackie. J-A-D is Jade. And so on and so forth. So it... People are leaning towards saying that Frost is legit, but that would mean things like Reptile, Ermac, Shang Tsung. There's a big one on Rain, which people were really clamoring for, would not be in the game. Although, just today, a couple hours ago, Ed Boon released a tweet saying, what do you think of the leaks? Yeah. And it was Sonya Fatality? Giving a fatality?
Yeah.
Killing.
I'm not sure what the verb is.
Scorpion. Yeah. So... He appears to not agree with it, but what do you think, if that is true, what do you think of those additions to the roster?
Obviously, Liu Kang and Kung Lao are going to be in there.
Yeah.
I'm with the internet. I could do without the combat kids, to be honest with you. The omission of Rain and Shang Tsung is really weird to me.
You need a sorcerer. Yeah. Kind of like Fire Emblem needs a dragon.
Yeah, you need
Mortal Kombat needs a sorcerer.
And Quan Chi is pretty dead.
Yeah.
Last I checked.
Yeah. But like other things people really wanted. People wanted Fujin. Because Raiden's gone evil, and so they figure that Fujin's going to kind of take his place. That's a wind god for those in the room or listening who don't know.
Yeah.
And then people wanted the return of Shang Tsung, because I don't think it was even in the last game.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And he's got some weird mechanics, so...
Yeah, and he's like, it's having a Mortal Kombat game without Shang Tsung is like having one without Scorpion.
Yeah, it's strange.
Like, you kind of need you need him. You need Liu Kang. You need Scorpion. You need Sub-Zero. If you don't have those four people, you don't have a Mortal Kombat game.
Particularly if it's based off time travel and they're sort of like interacted with the past things, but also things like Ermac and Reptile, like I said, weren't in there, and those are like the staple canon fodder of the game. So
yeah, and like it's weird for them to be missing too.
It's weird that this leak seems more legit because it's not coming from a direct leak; it's coming from Steam.
Yeah,
and like these are just achievements, so maybe that the characters that we're hoping for just weren't revealed in achievements, or whoever knows.
Yeah,
but this would be a pretty disappointing roster list, and again, Ed Boom commented on. Although he's got to comment regardless, like it was just
exactly.
Him being
he has
angry.
To say something.
Yeah, he's got to say something regardless. Okay, so you know what Mortal Kombat's famous for? Crossovers, and a crossover that I think will interest Matt very much happened this week. Have you actually gotten a chance to play it?
I have not, because in one of the few times that I've really wished that I had a digital version of the game instead of the physical one, my brother lent my copy of Monster Hunter World to his friend, who is out of the country currently, so I can't access it. But for those who don't know, there was Monster Hunter's World is doing another event tied in with a big game update, so it's a crossover with The Witcher 3. So I haven't played, but from what I understand from the trailer and the news release, Geralt and Ciri are playable characters.
Oh, that's cool.
And there are two new monsters taken from The Witcher that are just going to be permanently in the game. There's a little sort of story thing with Geralt going on now, too.
I would be, as small as a detail as it is, I would be remiss to all the Witcher fans out there if I didn't tell you that it was pronounced Geralt.
Okay.
Yeah, not Geralt.
I was never really sure. Good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
For the, I guess, the 15 minutes that I played The Witcher. I didn't pick that one up.
That's about as far as I got into it, too.
That's a shame. Yeah. It's so good.
But it looks so good.
Do you know what the monsters that are in there are?
There's a Leshen.
A Leshen, yeah, you got that.
And an ancient Leshen.
Okay. That's a strange combination. They're like wood monsters.
Okay, yeah. Seeming like
forest
what
monsters.
They look, they sort of look like skeletal forest
basically.
Things. Looks really cool. It's the first like large bipedal monster in any Monster Hunter game, or sort of more humanoid like. So that'll be interesting.
I'm surprised it took two of the same monster, basically. I mean, one's like a powerful, more powerful, leveled up version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they wanted, for the event, one that was big and powerful and one that was accessible to
normal people.
To people who haven't gotten that far in the game.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's not that uncommon in Monster Hunter where you have sort of an early game monster and then you just sort of have a powered up version of it later on.
Interesting. See, I thought the way, and if you two in the room and everyone listening online and on the radio will allow me to absolutely butcher the Witcher lore, I thought that the reason was, I believe there's something called the Convergence of the Realms, which is some classic fantasy stuff, where monsters came from their worlds. I know at least that's the case with the vampires. Monsters came from their worlds into sort of like the human world, Midgard, if you will. And that the older they were, the closer they were to their original power in their original world. And that's why ancient things were more powerful. So that would make sense that the ancient legends, the super souped up one. But yeah, wouldn't necessarily be the monster that I'd most fit, but it is kind of an iconic. There are three Leshen fights, I believe, in The Witcher 3.
Okay.
And I can't remember any ones in the previous games. And they're pretty substantial. They're worth remembering. particularly the quests around them are worth remembering. So it doesn't surprise me that they were like, well, we need a bipedal monster and we have so many options.
Yeah, and I think for Monster Hunter, it might be a good choice to do something different. You know, they don't have anything that visually looks like that. Yeah, no bipedals. Just from watching a little bit of the gameplay trailer, it seems to have lots of like area of effect attacks, which is not unique, but
rare
for Monster Hunter. So it looks, just watching a few minutes of the fight, it looks like it's something pretty different from Monster Hunter, which I'm excited about.
Interesting.
Yeah. And as my favorite part, whenever we have these events, they have new gear, new weapons. Always the most exciting thing for me because I'm a big gearhead for that game.
Nice. That's just add another reason to the pile that I want to play Monster Hunter.
Yeah, and I'm excited that I'm excited anytime they do any of these crossover events. But it's nice to see this one actually looks like it has some story stuff in it. And most of these events don't come with actual new monsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a Horizon Zero Dawn one that basically gave you a couple of quests and a skin. They did a Mega Man one, same thing, a couple quests and an incredibly awesome skin for your Palico. They did a Devil May Cry one, Final Fantasy. They've done several
Geralt
of these
and
now.
Ciri, though?
Sorry?
You get Geralt and Ciri, because I thought you created your own character. So are they like NPCs in the game, or do you play as like a skin?
So they're basically, from what it looks like, they are NPCs that sort of help you with quests, and then once you've completed the event, you get them as like a, I can't remember what it's actually called, but it's basically an armor skin.
Okay.
Where you wear all your armor, all your gear, you have your normal stat buffs and stuff from that, but you just look like that character.
Okay, so it's like a me costume.
Sort of, yeah.
Doesn't actually affect your
No.
Your place.
So now, which I kind of like, because you can still do your sort of competitive build, but like, hey, if you want to look like Geralt,
why not?
Go for it. So now for those skins, they have Geralt, Ciri, and Ryu.
Nice. I feel like I'm blanking on the name of it, but I feel like there's a game that we've talked about within the last several months that's had something similar to that, where it was just like you can use, oh, it was Spider-Man. I think that was it, where it's like, hey, you can use whatever tech and abilities you want, and we're going to completely have that separate from the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be tied into the docked. What's the word? I'm Iron Spider suit. If you want to use the arms, for example.
Yeah.
That's smart. That's smart.
I like it. You can go Fashion Souls and still get your good stats.
Exactly. I love how Fashion Souls is the common colloquialism. I refer to stuff even if it has nothing to do with Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. It's just general fashion. You got it. Fashion Souls is important. Yeah. When Mortal Kombat 11 comes out and we're creating our characters, absolutely important is the Fashion Souls. It doesn't matter. It's crucial. So there is, I do kind of want to get your opinion on what your favorite crossovers are, because this is certainly an interesting one. But we'd be remiss if we talked about crossovers without talking about Kingdom Hearts 3. Now,
yes.
To be clear, I haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3, and I don't think either of you have.
I feel like I've played it, with how much one of my coworkers talks about it.
Okay.
but I have not actually played.
This is one of the most, this is right up there with like Half-Life 3, if they announced Half-Life 3. Like, people were clamoring for Kingdom Hearts 3 for a long time, and I was desperately, desperately hoping that this would be the one to jump in. Because again, I think I've played one Final Fantasy, but I do like JRPGs. I'm fine with Square Enix games. I love Disney. It just made sense. But this was like the first kind of negative girlfriend review. And they're usually a very positive channel. Mm-hmm. And that kind of set me off. And I was like, hmm. And so then I watched a few more reviews and listened to a few other people talk about it. And it sounds just so unbelievably convoluted that, like, the actual Disney stuff that you like is such a back part of the story. And I think I watched the video game Donkey review as well. Mm-hmm. And, like, you don't watch video game Donkey for factual video game journalism, right? He's very clearly on the side of pure entertainment. But to hear all these Disney characters just, like, talk this mumbo-jumbo, and you pop into their world, and I think it was, it was a girlfriend review where she said, you get to go to the Toy Story world, and what do you get to do? Do you get to wander around Andy's room? Do you get to interact with everything? Nope, you immediately go outside and become, like, diva. I was like, oh, man. It seemed like they stumbled at the finish line. But since you have, like, a second-person review, what would an actual diehard Kingdom Hearts fan think of this game? Are they loving it despite all this?
He is absolutely loving it. It's his favorite game in years.
Wow.
So,
there you go.
What do I know?
Yeah, so but I did the exact same thing as you. I'm, you know, talking with my friend at work about it all the time, and he is head over heels in love with this game. You know, when he's at work, all he does is talk about it. He can't wait to go home just to play it. And then, yeah, you look at some of the reviews online, and it's like generally good, but not nearly as good as you would hope for something that was so hyped up. Even talking with my sort of diehard friend, even for him, it's very complicated. Like he said, he struggles to keep characters straight in his head. He struggles to, like, keep the story straight and understand what's going on. Cause this is like Kingdom Hearts 3, but there have been many that have come out in between.
Yeah, there's like 20 Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, most games where they sort of, you know, you have stuff that came out on the PSP or the DS or whatever, and those don't really, like, interact with the story. Well, these ones do. Mm-hmm. And so I was sort of same as you, hoping this would be a good jumping in point. It's the first one that's come out in a long time. So I was sort of expecting them to make it sort of like Monster Hunter World did, where it's like, hey, here's this big complicated thing. We're going to make it a little simpler. So this is a good point to jump in if you haven't before. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like they've done that.
It does not seem like they've done that at all.
No. My friend said it includes like he said about a 30 minute. I don't know if that was exaggeration or not. Basically just explanation of what's happened before this game starts. And even with that, he said he was struggling and he's played them all. Still, like, glowing reviews, but even as a diehard fan, he's pretty confused about what's going on.
Yikes.
So that makes me hesitant to jump in as a new player, I would say. I'd still like to give it a try, because even with the more negative reviews, there's still plenty of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's given it a straight negative review. It's basically, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, but it's still really good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the good stuff
is kind of
clouded by I forget which one of the reviews it was, so please don't, you know. I mean, if you want to yell on Facebook, I'd be happy to just get a like on Facebook, get the dopamine hit. But what I basically heard was that the game does tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of things okay. Like, it's the ultimate jack of all trades. But if you want a game where you're jumping around from genre to genre to genre and sort of gameplay type to gameplay type, it seems like it's that type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I'm kind of curious, because apparently some of the super moves are Disney rides, right? Like, I've seen things where you actually get on a little roller coaster, and that's part of the super move. And I was like, wow. That's what I never knew that I needed that. Until
There are some parts of it that make me want to play it so badly, but then other things that just kind of scare me away. So I really don't know.
Yeah. I've watched like 3 videos trying to explain the Kingdom Hearts lore, and they go on for like 15 minutes, and I end them just as confused as I was before.
Yeah.
Like, it is, holy cow, it is a mess.
Which is a real shame, because I think, again, Monster Hunter is probably a very appropriate comparison, where this was so beloved by diehard fans, and then it's been a decent amount of time, and if they had had a huge success, and it really had broad appeal, then I think it would have absolutely sold like hotcakes, like Monster Hunter World did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like it stumbled out of the gate, and especially for us people who are like on the fence. Like, if people had said about Kingdom Hearts 3 what they said about Monster Hunter, like, I was way closer to jumping in on Kingdom Hearts 3. And so I probably would have bought it by now. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's like, okay, wait for the bargain bin, wait for the Steam sale, whatever it is. It's a shame. Okay, so since that's the ultimate crossover. I want to get your guys' opinions on some other interesting crossovers in games, and we'd be remiss if we didn't immediately start off talking about Soul Calibur, which has had some of the best, some of the worst, and some of the weirdest crossovers in video game history, including, more recently, Geralt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
From The Witcher 3, but also...
One of the better ones.
Yoda. Darth Vader was in there, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Depending on which version of the game you bought, I believe.
Yeah. Link and Spawn.
I remember playing as Link in Soul Calibur.
We got a Soul Calibur game specifically because it had Link in it, which was super weird.
Yeah, but my friend that I mostly played Soul Calibur with, same thing. He bought it because Link was in it.
Yeah. But it's just so weird. He didn't fit like everyone else actually talked. He didn't talk almost as weird as Yoda, although I didn't play the Yoda one. But are there any other major video game crossovers that you guys thought, let's keep it positive? So there are definitely some weird ones out there, but what are the ones that jump out to you when you think, oh, wow, that totally makes sense? And I'll give you a freebie, Adam, because you have an easier time with the Mortal Kombat one. So was there a Mortal Kombat one that jumped out?
I mean, honestly, I kind of dismissed it when they announced that Freddy Krueger was going to be in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And then I played him, and I'm like, wow, you could be a Mortal Kombat character. Like, you fit right in.
Yeah.
you could not fit here more. It was perfect. So I was really impressed with that. I hadn't tried out Jason, but I imagine he'll be the same thing. Like, a horror villains really do fit in that universe.
It's such a... It doesn't seem like it would make sense from the outside. Like, there's no karate combat in horror movies.
Yeah.
And yet, it makes sense in all the right areas.
Yeah.
It's like peanut butter and jam. Just like, goes together well.
Do I need an explanation why Freddy Krueger exists in this universe? No.
No.
No, it's just... Freddy's
cool.
Freddy's just here now.
He's
I'm okay
from
with that.
The Freddy realm.
Yeah,
don't worry
about
it.
That's fine. Exactly. Yeah.
The rule of cool abides.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's cool, therefore, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, is there a video game crossover that jumps out to you?
Well, actually, the main one that I had on my list was actually Link from Soul Calibur 4. Because I specifically remember being like in, not PNP Games, Microplay, rest in peace, with my friend looking through the shelf for like used games or whatever, come across Soul Calibur 4. It's like, you know, it has a little like cutout on the corner. It's like, oh, featuring Link. We're like, oh, that looks cool. Like, pick up the box, look at the back. Like, yeah, let's try this. Why not? And then we got really into Soul Calibur 4. Hmm. And it was just like, very just blatant, but a really good example of like sort of putting a character in that doesn't make any sense, but just for marketing, and then it kind of works anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we had a lot of fun playing as Link. And like, I'm not as up on all the crossovers because a lot of them tend to be from fighting games, and that's not really my genre.
Games, yeah.
But one thing that I was always just sort of impressed with was how well they blend in with the actual game. Like you were saying with, you know, with Freddy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think they'd fit, and somehow they find a way to, like, maybe not in the story, but at least mechanically and, you know, aesthetically, find some way to actually blend it in.
I mean, it's astonishing that Snake can exist in the same world as Mario and Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll shout out, I guess, to PlayStation All-Stars, which made an attempt. But to be honest, one of my favorite all-time crossovers, and I guess this will be the last one. I'm not sure if Matt played this. I know Adam did. But remember Pokemon Conquest?
Yes.
And it was like you had this weird Japanese, like, role-playing, risk-type game. And it's just like, it was very serious.
Yeah.
Because what if we threw Pokemon in there? It should not work, and the game ended up being really, really good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so if you are out there and you see Pokemon Conquest, you're like, what the heck is this? Good game.
Have you ever wanted to play Fire Emblem, but with Pokemon?
Yeah, what if Pokemon existed in feudal Japan and each lord had their own thing?
Yeah.
It's basically that it shouldn't make sense, but it did.
But it does.
Well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, speaking of things that do make sense, TV Talkers at 5:30 makes sense. So, we're back to our regular time, so let's stay tuned for an extra special episode of TV Talkers, and we'll see you next week, guys.